It's saw there in the Gospels, a Magdalene girl comes to pay respects. But her mind is a whirl when she finds the tomb empty, the shroud had been rolled, not a sign of a corpse. In the dark and the cold, when she reaches the door, sees an unholy sight. There's a solitary figure in a halo of light. He just carries on floating past Calvary Hill. In an owl mazy hoodie, aye, but she might catch him sleep. Tell me, where are you born, Lord, and why in such haste? I don't hinder me, woman. I've no time to waste, but they're launching a boat on the morrow at noon. And I'll have to be there before daybreak. Oh, I cannot be missing. The lads will expect me, why else would the good Lord himself resurrect me? For nothing will stop me, I have to prevail. Through the teeth of this tempest, in the mouth of a gale, may the angels protect me, if all else should fail. When the last ship sails, all the roar of the chains and the cracking of tools, the noise at the end of the world in your ears, as a mountain of steel makes its way to the sea. States, from Italy, from Spain. I need to give a little bit of geography, and the locals can just be patient. We are in Gateshead. We are looking across the river to the city of Newcastle. And if you go down that way towards the sea, the North Sea, a few miles around the bend in the river, is a town called Wallsend. Wallsend is famous for a number of reasons. It's where the Emperor Hadrian finished his wall, which he built across this island. It's also famous for a shipyard that built massive ships. And it's also famous because I was born and raised there. I was literally born within the shadow of a shipyard. Some of my earliest memories, as soon as I could walk, go out into the street, and I'd look down that street and I would see a
giant ship blocking the way and blocking the sunlight for most of the year. Every morning I'd watch thousands of men walk down into that shipyard. I'd watch them walk back home every night. And I would wonder with some trepidation whether that wouldn't be my destiny too. My grandfather had been a shipwright, all his brothers had been a shipwright. There were very few other jobs in the town. But I was pretty determined that it wouldn't be my destiny. The shipyard was noisy, dangerous, highly toxic, with an appalling health and safety record. Despite that, the men and women who worked on those ships were immensely proud of the work they did. Some of the largest ships ever constructed on planet Earth were built right at the end of my street. So I wanted to honor that community, and I began with a list of names of people I'd known. And these would be the names of the people who worked in the shipyard. Some of them are made up, some of them are composites of real people. I'm going to be helped by Mr. Jimmy Nail. Mr. Charlie Richmond. The lovely Miss Jo Laurie. She's from South Australia, from Adelaide, but she's an honorary Geordie, or has been for the last 5 years. We're going to sing a song called Shipyard, in which the characters in the shipyard tell us who they are, what they do, their dreams, their hopes, and their fears. James?
Ah, me name is Jackie White, and I'm the foreman of the yard. And you don't mess with Jackie on this quayside. Why, I'm as hard as iron plate. Won't be tied then if they're late, when they have to push a boat out on the springtime. They could die and hope for heaven, but they need to work this shift. And I'd expect them all about me to the hilt. And if St. Peter at his gate would have asked him why they're late, why they'd tell him that they had to get a ship built. We've built battleships and cruisers for Her Majesty the Queen, super tankers for all NASA's and all the classes in between. We built the greatest shipping tonnage and the only life we've known is in this shipyard.
Steel in the stockyard, iron in the soul, the pleasure of a ship where there used to be a hole.
But I don't know what we'll do if the yard gets sold, for the only life we've known is in the shipyard. All the planers and the welders, the boilermaking crews, when they see that beggar finished on their slippery, all the hardships soon forgot, and we'll cheer us like it's not. And the bands will wave their Union Jacks all day. It's a periodic scene. All that's missing is the Queen, but she said she couldn't make it on a Tuesday. Then something wells up here inside, and you'd be taken in your stride, but you wonder if you'd see another payday. For there's a mixture of emotions, hate, gratitude and pride. And you hate yourself a crying, but that's difficult to hide. Well, there's a sadness in the launching, knowing what's ahead. And that worry never leaves you and keeps on nagging in your head. So you pray to God for more, but you worry till you're dead. Until they bury your remains in a blacksmith's shed. And the only life you've known is in the shipyard.
Steel in the stockyard, iron in the soul, we'll conjure up a ship where there used to be a hole.
But I don't know what we'll do if this yard gets closed, for the only life we've known is in the shipyard.
And the only life we've known is in the shipyard.
I'm shop steward for the Union, and my dream is proletarian revolution. Das Kugel is the means of dialectic evolution. And das Kapital's me Bible, and the ruling class of Bible. They quoted Marx and Engels, it's entirely justifiable. If the workers' revolution here is never to be viable, and we become the rightful owners of the shipyard. So it's a one-day stoppage, or an overtime ban, or a word to rule for the five-year plan. Until the means of production is safely in our hands, and we become the rightful owners of the shipyard. I'm not saying it won't be hard if the boss answers me cards, and they try to close us down like other shipyards. And if industrial action only helps the competition, as I've heard the bosses bleating from their usual positions, and I stand accused of anarchy, disruption and submission. Well, you'll never knock us down, you reactionary clowns, when it's time for occupation of the shipyard.
Intellectual discourse I'm no better for. I may forego English grammar when I'm injured with a hammer, but I've a preference for the deference of a metaphor. I've read the Odyssey by Homer. I've read the Iliad as well. I've read Tacitus and Pliny.
Aye, aye, and Scarlet Pimpernel.
I spent a night shift down with Dante on his journey into hell. And it's what we'll all be facing if this yacht were up to sell. For the only life we've known is in the shipyard. Go on, sir, and there's more. Now what about those Trojan Wars and the troubles that they caused when they sailed off on that summer's afternoon?
Aye, the ship I had was crap when they lost their bloody map, when they tried to get themselves back to the tomb.
Look, there's a lesson in these tales, although they happened ages past. Just like Spartacus, that film by Stanley Kubrick. First there's tragedy, then farce. That kept you up the arse, when you kept the gods with arrogance and hubris. Well, it's obvious I'm gifted with a rhyme end and a meter, and hereabouts I'm thought up highly as a bard. And if I wasn't shooting rivets, I'd be famous in New York. All those literary circles I dazzle with you in. And I've never lacked ambition. You could say it was a crime. For rivets may be riveting, but sonnets are sublime. And the only life I've known is in the shipyard.
Steel in the scrapyard, iron in the soul. We'll conjure up a ship where there used to be a hole.
But we don't know what we'll do if this yard gets sold. For the only life we've known is in the shipyard.
And the only life we've known is in the shipyard.
So here comes Billy Harrison.
I drink myself into a stupor, and I wake up with two heads, and then the missus starts complaining about all me drunken deeds. Like when I got the train that I'd found myself in Leeds. Ah! And I had to get up early for the shipyard. You know, I once gave up the drink. Was it 1963? Well, it seems as though sobriety was not the thing for me. It was the worst 3 hours I allowed to say. told. And the only life we've known is in the shield
of the stockyard, iron in the soul. We'll get the master finished, though we'll end up on the road.
And we never mind it working in the rain and the cold.
We're in it and the boat gets flooded in the hole.
And we don't know what we'll do if they all get sold.
The only life we've ever known is in the ship.
From America, Mr. Ira Coleman on the bass. And also from America on the drums, Mr. Joe Bonadio. My right-hand man for over 25 years, now at my left, Mr. Dominic Miller. Next to him on the melodeon from Newcastle, Mr. Julian Sutton. The Northumbrian pipes and the violin, but my dear friend for decades, Catherine Tickell. My younger brother on the fiddle, Mr. Peter Tickell. Over here are the Wilson family. From the Teesside, it was a mix-up at the agency. I thought I was booking the Beach Boys. Anyway, we got out really well. Also from Newcastle, Mr. Charlie Richmond there. Jimmy, you already know. Musical director, without which none of this would make any sense at all, Mr. Rob Mathis. So one of the themes of these songs is belonging somewhere and exile. And I'm someone who made his life away from this place, and I still haven't resolved some of those issues. The main character in The Last Ship is called Gideon. He leaves the town, but he doesn't want to work on the shipyard. He goes away to sea for 15 years, and then he has to come back to War's End to deal with his father's death. A lot of ghosts he has to deal with, a lot of emotional debts. And this is his first song, which is called And Yet.
This town, the stain on the sunrise, disguised in the mist this morning, it's 8 a.m. The seagull shouts, the sailor's a warning. This sky, this bend in the river, soars down and delivers me. The tide rolls back, and all my memories fade to black, and yet, this town, this shade of the sunrise, disguised in shouts of sails of water. This sky, this bend in the river, slows down and delivers me. The tide goes by, all my memories fade to black, and yet, I'm back. This town's a strange magnetic pole, my
sail by the stars of the hemisphere. Wondering how in the hell did you end up here? It's like an underground world, our hidden stream, that flows through your head and haunts your dreams. And you stuff those dreams in this conversation. And there's nothing around you, the wide world lacks. And yet, I'm back. Sit inside my eye on the deck and I stare at the turning of the stars. Those constellations hanging up there from the cables and the rigging. I wonder if you saw the same or managed to recall my name. Why would she ever think of me? Some boy she loved who fled to sea in a wild wish time to get to whether she'd be waiting for the accident. So you drift in the port of the scum of the seas to the dance halls and the brothels where you took your ease. The ship's left the dock, but you have past Karen. You haven't got a crew whose bed you're sharing. And your head's like a hammer on a bulkhead door. It feels like somebody might have broken your jaw. There's bloodstains and glass all over the floor. And you swear to God you'll drink no more. And yet, and yet, this town, this wound that's still open. I was broken that I still can mend. A fist in my heart that won't unbend. A tangled rope that cannot twist. Should sling my hook and call it quits. And yet, before the sun has set, before the sea can lay her standing claim on me. While you see, there may yet be some surprises waiting for the likes of you.
For 15 years, yet never contacted her, never phoned her, never written a letter, but he still thought of her. She, too, has thought of him, and she spends every day secretly going down to the river and counting the boats leaving, and she counts the boats coming back. The song is called All the Swings. Turn my head. to the shipyard. What happens in the shipyard? In the story is that the shipyard has closed, and of course, unemployment brings lots of attendant problems, depression, drunkenness, and the community suffers. I know this firsthand. So in the story, a local priest decides he will try and do something, and he convinces the men to do something that's completely and utterly crazy, is occupy their old shipyard and try and build a ship of their own. And the reason he can convince them, he says, you've got nothing else. You've only got this. They do it. So this song is called, What Have We Got? We've Got Nout Else. For those of you who don't know what nout is, it means nothing. Niente in Italian. Nada in Spanish. Got nothing else. Okay.
Good people, give ear to me story.
What for?
Now pay attention. None of you live. For I brought you these lads and their daddy.
And their daddy.
Intending to build yours a ship.
Whilst in this war, it's a place we are born and bred.
And there's no finer lads in this nation.
And none are more gallantly led.
Motion and the clamor and the welding of the steel. What have we got for the mist upon the river? What have we got for the noise inside the hole?
What have we got for the arse end of the weather? Whether we work in horizontal in and shiver in the cold.
What have you got?
What have we got?
What have we got?
What have we got?
You got now.
You got now else.
Hey, what have you got?
What have we got?
What have you got?
What have we got?
You got now.
You got no one else.
What have we got for the singing in the cables? What have we got for the ringing in your ears?
What have you got when you're gone clear to the ceiling? Because the bosses turn the tables and your eggs have disappeared.
What have we got?
What have we got?
What have you got?
What have we got?
You got no.
We got no else.
Hey, what have you got?
Well, what have we got?
What have you got?
Well, what have we got?
You got no.
We got no else.
You're standing with your tea break, you're under here in shite, you're dying for a cigarette, and you're desperate for a light, and then the gaffer pulls a bow with his job sheet and he reads,
tea break's over, gentlemen, now get back on your heat.
Oh. Hey, what does it say in the papers?
What does it say on the news?
They've said we've all gone bloody daft.
So what have we got to lose?
What do you get for murder?
What do you get for life?
Hey, what would I get for a capital crime?
What will I tell me, wife?
What do you get for your politics?
What do you get for your votes?
And what have we got at the end of the day?
A great big bloody vote!
You've got to die of something. It's written in your face.
You might as well die on a Tuesday. And all the time you're there, you beggar.
What do you got?
What do you got?
Punch it on the clock.
He can walk into the pub and just carry on the way things were. He's got another thing coming, and Joe Laurie is going to sing a song called If You Ever See Me Talking to a Sailor.
When the wind's from the eastern quarter, there's a pungent taste of salt on the breeze. Something troubles your inside, like a scum upon the tide, or something washed up on the beach, down by the keys. Intuition's what a god of love relies on. He must have known he only wanted to be free. You drew your line upon the sand, only a fool would ever stand between a man. And when the tide rolls out, you'll find your bed is empty and he's gone. So if you ever see me talking to a sailor, some scurvy noble apple of a tart, knock the drink out of my hand and push me over where I stand. Take a slug of me, it's a wild scar. Pin my body to the ground and slap my face to bring me round. Then you can roll my sweet ass out of this bar. For a sailor's not a man to be trusted. He'll build town hall here with his chickadees. But when he's had his way, all he'll get is his good day. Then he'll blow kiss and scuttle back to sea. And when the tide rolls out, you'll find your bed is empty and he's gone. And when the tide rolls out, you'll find your bed is empty and he's gone. If you ever see me talking to a sailor, and I'd likely stand there passing time of day, don't you hesitate to think someone's tampered with my drink, and he's shaking out your handbag in the time it takes to blink, and all the booze you ever bought him, he's just thrown up in the sink. Just call the funny mom to carry me away. For a sailor's not a man to be trusted, with treacherous ties and hidden reefs. Just to get you up the stairs, he'll quote the Bible in his prayer. And then before you know, he's bound for Tenerife. And when the tide rolls out, you'll find your heart is empty and he's gone. And when the tide rolls out, you'll find the house is empty and he's gone. And when you become a woman of a certain age, you'll find it's difficult to trust a man. It's difficult to gauge when the bilge rat who left you without a living wage thinks there's still that tawdry glamour of the sea. But I swear to God, it's completely lost on me. Maybe seen us.
Gideon imagines, because the lovely Meg, which is the name of this girl, has another suitor. He's called Arthur, and this is Arthur's song. It's called Practical Arrangement. Am I asking for the moon? Is it really so implausible that you and I could soon come to some kind of arrangement? I'm not asking for the moon. I've always been a realist, when it's really nothing more than a simple rearrangement, with one roof above our heads, warm house to return to. We could start with separate beds. I could sleep alone or learn to. I'm not suggesting that we find some earthly paradise forever. I mean, how often does that happen now? The answer's probably never. We could come to an arrangement, a practical arrangement, and you could learn to love me, given time.
Well, I like my independence. I get by, I'm not greedy. You see yourself, I've got a hat. I really look at me. I brought a child up on my own. Takes me all my strength to face him. The father often left me, and I'm not desperate to replace him. Tell me what kind of catch is a struggling single mother. I respect you, and I like you. I won't accept another empty promise when some gray and stormy rain hangs above me. When I've heard all 100 times from a man who said he loved me, and if we came to an arrangement, a practical arrangement, then perhaps I'd learn to love you. Intention of deceiving you. You're far too clever. We could come to an arrangement, a practical arrangement, and perhaps you'd learn to love me, given time. It may not be the promise that you had. You could learn to love me. Give on time.
attracted by the pathos of an older man falling for a younger woman. And everyone liked that song. And then one morning I turned up for work at the theater, and the director, the producers, the book writer, all sitting there in a line, and it looks like an intervention is about to take place. So I said, good morning, everybody. Something up? He said, how old is Arthur, in your opinion? I said, well, he's about my age. Well, practical arrangement can't be in the play. Why? Everyone loves that song. Huh? Well, Arthur's too old. We need someone young and virile. He was the balance to Gideon. He was also young and virile. The theatrical audience wants a competition. As soon as Arthur opens his mouth, you know he's not going to get the girl. So you have to write another song. So I'm pretty stoic. I went home and I sat at the blank page and had my guitar, and nothing really came. Next morning I tried the same thing, and days turned to weeks, nothing's happening. And I realized that this new Arthur, that I have this younger, more virile Arthur, I don't actually like him. I'm sure I can write a song for him. But having articulated that in my head, I realized that I was getting in the way. My ego was getting in the way of telling a story. And once I'd realized that, I then wrote this song, which is called What Say You, Meg? A younger, more virile Arthur. There's a house on the hill that's come up for sale. It's a place I've known since I was a lad. And it needs a lick of paint and a hammer and a nail. But it's part of a boyhood dream I've always had. I climb up the hill with the evening news. I've been sent from the town to deliver. And I stand in the porch and gaze at the view. Till my eyes are bruised by the sunset's glow on the river. I'd imagine a girl who would share my life, as dreamers will tend to do, and the face I always conjured up was no you.
are they hard to replace? If I say so myself, then I promise it all by the sweat of my brow. Tell me what the relationship between fathers and sons, often a difficult relationship. I know this, I have real estate there. Sometimes a father's love can be misconstrued as controlling. And often the dreams of a son can seem like some pie in the sky fantasy. This song is about a dad arranging an apprenticeship for his son. The shipyard, and his son saying, "Fuck that." He said, "You see these workbooks in my hands? They probably fit you now, my son. Take them, they're a gift from me. Why don't you try them on? It would do your old man good to see it. Walking in these boots one day, take your place among the men who work upon the slipway. These dead man's boots, though they warm and curl, when a fella needs a job and a place in the world, it's time for a man to put down roots, walk to the river in his old man's boots." Dying son, and asking that he do this one final thing, he said. "Oh, really, what a sapling. I near thought you were a tree. If you need a seed to prosper, you must first put down some roots. Wanted you to settle in your old man's boots. These dead man's boots, though I'm when I go, and a fella needs a job and a place to work. It's time for a man to put down roots, walk to the river in his old man's boots." I said, "Why the hell would I do that? Why would I agree? When his hand was all that I'd received, as far as I remember. It's not as if he spoiled me, but his kindness up to them, you see. I'd have planned to be old, and I'd quit this place when I came of age September. These dead man's boots go away down the hill. They're gonna walk there themselves, and they probably will. I've plenty of choices, I've plenty of roots. And he'd never see me walking in these dead man's boots. What was it made him think? I'd be happy ending up like him. But he'd hardly got to him in his left, or a broken, popped up pisser. He wanted the same thing for me. Was that his final wish?
So what the hell are you gonna do, lad?"
I said, "Anything but this. These dead man's boots know the way down the hill. They can walk there themselves, and they probably will. They won't walk with me, cause I'm off the other way. I had it up to here, I'm gonna have my say. But all you got left is that cross on the wall. I want nothing from you, I want nothing at all. Not a picture or a pittance when your whole life is through. But this through your head, I'm nothing like you. I'm done with all the arguments, there'll be no more disputes. And you'll never see me walking in these dead hands."
shipyard, but I'd planned my escape. I had other dreams. And a lot of my friends, though, had got apprenticeships in the yards on engineering works around here, and they would tell me stories about their first day in the factory, where there was a kind of mild hazing that went on, where an apprentice would be sent to the store for spurious, ridiculous, non-existent items like a left-handed screwdriver, a glass hammer, a spirit bubble, that little bubble of air. In this song, the hapless apprentice is going to be played by Jimmy Nail. He's a very
perfect good, casting.
Very good line, and hapless. And he is sent for a brace of sky hooks, presumably something you hook onto the sky, a packet of nail holes, and three cans of tartan paint.
Gaffer says to me, I want you to go to the store to get a few things, do you see? Now here's a list, can you read that? Can you read it back to me? And me and the boys will listen while I'm in my morning tea. Do you see? Now reading was me pride when I left school at 14. There wouldn't be a problem here, I'd show them I was keen. When I starts to read, they just couldn't hold that mirth. Splitting their sides and spluttering like they were giving birth. First up, a brace of sky boots, a packet of nail holes neat, and then three cans of tartan paint that knocks me tusking. They get my pants me on the heat and sends me on the roof. He says, go and throw back at me handed lad, or I'll have to dock you up here. So I get to the store all nervous. Quartermaster's there. I pulls the list out of me pockets. I starts to read all square. Well, I hadn't barely finished when the storeman's face turns red. He gave me such an evil look, I thought I'd soon be dead.
First off, a brace of sky hooks and a packet of nail holes neat, and then three cans of tartan paint, and that's me task of me. The storeman strikes me on the heat and sends me on my way.
Well, a kick in the arse for the events, and such was my first day.
Rachel's going to sing a Peggy song, which in the play, Peggy is the wife of Jackie White, played by Jimmy Miller. And looks like this.
Promise me, my Jackie, on the day that we got married, you'd build a world of dreams for me someday. A vague romantic notion that would sail off to some ocean, but in my dreams we'd get there some fine day. All the other men in this broken town, he'd end up by the river where his thoughts turned black. I said, pull yourself together, pet, and come home, Jack. Whenever we had sorrows, we'd always say tomorrow we'd build that ship of dreams and sail. What happened to my Jackie, that big old man I married? It's hard to watch your fella waste away. He sits and stares at nothing, that chairs of a bright coffin. God is done and there's nothing I can say. He's never been the same since his yard got closed, but he's dressed every morning in his working clothes. A cup of tea and a sandwich from his old rucksack, but it never should have happened to a man like Jack. If I came into money, it'd be all for you, me, honey. We'd build that boat of dreams and sail away. Based on a poem by Rudyard Kipling called Big Steamers. And they're not using the microphone, actually. It's not even plugged in. Because they don't need to.
Oh, where are you going to board your big steamers? With England's own coal up and down the salt sea. We're going to fetch you your bread and your butter, your beef, pork and mutton, eggs, apples and cheese. And where will you fetch it from? Oh, you big steamer.
we're going to sing a song called Hadaway. Now, the locals will know what Hadaway means. If you say something that's unlikely, a Geordie will say to you, ah, Hadaway and shite. If you're up Ireland, you'd say, away with you. In America, I'm not so sure. Anyway, the shipyard men are trying to convince Gideon, who's a sailor, to join them on this crazy idea and sail the ship they're going to build. And he has no time for it. So this song is called Hadaway, You're Out of Your Tiny Minds. It goes like this. Gotta be joking, you're taking the piss. I'd have to be stupid to go on with this. I wasn't born yesterday, or even last week. It's someone with sailing experience to seek. I wouldn't sail with yous on the last ship of grounds. In a biblical flood, I'd be better off drowned. So drink up your bevies and have a good sup. I'm no part of this fancy O'Brien's dreamed up. Find some other idiot to pilot your craft, and tomorrow you'll be sober. Had away with yous all. You know you got nout, you got nothing at all. Had away, you're just pissing your beer up the wall, and you're out of tidy. You've got a story, haven't you?
A little bit.
Let's hear it.
I had a friend on the ships. His name was Joe Dorsey. He'd get in a port. He'd be straight to the horses. He begged and he pleaded. He was some operator. 600 to 1 and he'd pay me back later. He claimed it was certain that we'd be in clover. And the next time we sail past the white cliffs of Dover, we'll be sailing a yacht of our own to the bed. Oh, all the money he owed me, I was out of the air. I didn't see either of him for 9 months, I wasn't 10. And didn't the bastard just ask me again? For the Lord of the sailor, he paid me back soon. All the money he owed me, I am sent the moon.
Hadaway, Hadaway, Hadaway with his all. You know you got nout, you got nothing at all. Hadaway, you're just pissing your beer up the wall, and you're out of your tiny mind.
Well, this is the romantic bitch. The Stonewallers.
Well, now let's have it.
Once had a girl down in Tenerife, a passionate courtship, albeit brief. What happened next? It just beggared belief. If I tell you, I'll be sober. The second night in, she claims she's with child. Afore yesterday night, she'd been pure, undefiled. I must be the father.
Court paper shit file. So we're at Tommy Rollers. Hadaway, Hadaway, Hadaway with yous all. You know you got nout, you got nothing at all. Hadaway, you're just pissing your beer up the wall. You think you've got a case, you got sweet butter all. And you're out of your tiny minds. And you're out of your tiny minds. And you're out.
Yeah.
song is called Mrs. D's Rant. Mrs. D is the landlady of the pub in the play, Ship in the Hole. And it's going to be played by the wonderful Val McLean. Please, welcome Val.
Such dreams would fill my head. I thought I'd marry a goodly man to keep me warm in bed. A goodly man, a shapely man, a noble heart and true. Instead, I married a shipyard man and the rent's always overdue. I thought I'd marry a parson to help me say me prayers. And once I got up off my knees, he chased me up the stairs. I thought I'd marry the butcher's lad to bring me Sunday's meat. Instead, I married a shipyard man. Well, sometimes a girl has to eat. I might have wed the baker's boy, we'd make a house of bread. We would clap for yeast or flour to keep our hungry passions fed. I might have married a doctor, he'd give me penicillin. And every time he smiled at me, I'd show him I was willing. A godly man, a shapely man, selfless, kind and wise. An honest man, a paragon, who'd never tell me lies. No wolf in shepherd's clothing, no master of disguise. So why did I marry a
shipyard man?
He should have picked on someone more his size. I could have wed a collier man, he'd keep a lassie fit. Whenever it was cold outside, he'd keep those fires lit. I might have married a millionaire, he'd know what I would like. But instead I married a
shipyard man.
So I had to come up back home to the northeast to be what's the word? Ratified by the local union. So and Val was the secretary of the local equity union, and so I got passed. And before she signed my name on the equity membership, she said, "Are you sure you want to be called Sting?" I said, "Are you sure, Pat?" She wasn't wrong. Anyway, where are we? Yeah, we're going to go back to the play. One of the things that Gideon finds out when he gets back home after 15 years is he has a son. Meg has not given that information to him. And before he left,
Gideon had something of a reputation as a fighter, a pugilist. In fact, he's known, his nickname is the pugilist. And his son asked him if he'll teach him to fight. And he says, well, fighting's easy. You just let your mouth run on and then let your fists catch up. He said, what's really hard is winning a woman. He said, that takes real talent. And so he sings this song to his son. In the streets around here, there was nobody tougher than me, apart from you. I was quick with me fists and fast with me footwork, as you can plainly see. But while fighting was useful for getting your way among the toughs of the town, where you could hold sway, there had to be something that was better than this. I was 15 years old, and I'd never been kissed. Well, of course she'd ignore me. Our friends would all sneer at me, bloody nose dripping, and me cauliflower ear, for it's hard to convince in a romantic pose with a lovely black eye and a broken nose. Where a girl is attracted to skills more refined than the pugilist art, and so I inclined to take myself serious as a modern romancer, and I secretly learned all the moves of a dancer. You swing to the left, you swing to the right, keep your eyes on your partner like you would in a fight. You just follow the rhythm and keep to the beat. The important thing's never to look at your feet. Then a miracle happens, your mind's in a trance, though the strategy's subtle. Retreat in advance, it's all about attitude, all in a stance. Attention to detail, leaving nothing to chance, which explains how this pugilist finally learned how to dance. I'd waltz with a broomstick, and if I was caught, I'd pretend I was sweeping or practicing sport. But I really had eyes for your mother, you see, wanted her to acknowledge this new version of me. Now everyone's watching, expecting I'll fail. There's a fire in me belly, there's a wind in me sails. I knew it was risky, I was taking a chance. I couldn't retreat now, I had to advance. So I swing to the left, I swing to the right, keep my eyes on me partner like I would in a fight. I just follow the rhythm and keep to the beat. The important thing's never to look at your feet. But a miracle's happened, your mind's in a trance. They're all laughing and cheering and looking askance on the night that the pugilist finally learned how to dance. In a bout where the strategist's bridges were burnt, where it seemed that his fortune had suddenly turned, 'twas the night that the scrapper was suddenly dapper. This poor fella's heart was still going like the clappers. The night that the pugilist finally learned how to verse and went just finished it and of course left it looking like they made a mistake. Which is normally my practice, but I thought I'd admit it tonight. The song's called When We Dance. I'd move town and change my name.
bleak house for by your soul. On your hand is gold rings. Lucky was a bird that sings when we dance. Angels run on their wings. We sustain my soul, salvation is in the Bible. Sydney in Australia. I was on tour. He had a gig as well. And as you probably know, before Billy was an actor and a comedian, he was a welder in a shipyard up in Glasgow at Govan. And he said to me, you know, the thing about welders is they're all fucking crazy. It's because the welding fumes get inside the helmet and it makes them all a little loopy. And the other thing about welders you should know is all of them, to a man, sing, because inside the helmet there's this natural echo chamber, and they all think they're Elvis Presley. Any welder that you
won't hear it because it's inside the thing. They're all singing Elvis Presley songs, the Roy Orbison songs. And this idea tickled me so much, I wrote this song. It's called Jock, the Singing One. I'm going to stand up for this. Go on, sing. Any shipyard man can sing when he works upon the hull. Amongst the noise and the clamour that he all but disregards. So he'll sing to himself and no one pays him any mind. He's just another crazy welder in the shipyard. But inside this welder's helmet, if you'll let me demonstrate, when the mask is in position and the fumes accumulate, there's the finest echo chamber with a sound that can't be beat. Where I'm the king of rock and roll, and the world is at me feet. And it may not sound like much to all them jokers on the squad, but inside of here I'm singing with the voice of fucking God. I'm drumming, singing, well, the heavy metal, rock and roll, jazz, blues, roots, reggae, country, rock, a billion souls. When I'm singing, I'm your best, I got your daughters and your mothers. I'm Gene Vincent, Eddie Cochran, I'm a missing every brother. I'm jumping, singing, well, I'm heading for the heights. I'm Jock, the singing world around us every night. Well, I'm more than just a welder, telling you my name. One day you'll see the places in the Rock and Hall of Fame. I got these songs in my head, I got this dancing in my bones. I'm Roy Orbison, Elvis Presley, I'm Tom fucking Jones. I'm Jock, the singing world around the heavens for the heights. I'm Jock, the singing world around us every night. Was a prehistoric welder who figured out what it was worth. They call it holy metallurgy, and I wanted to be clear that no one pulls us on. I want to just be clear. The singing welder in the belly of a ship. I got my shaky leg, I got my crooked lip. I'm Jock, the singing welder. I haven't got a choice, cause I'm singing all day at the top of my voice. I'm Jock, the singing world around the silver lights. There's a country road waiting every Saturday night. There'll be no more mistaking where I'm setting my sights. Cause I ain't no pretender, it's my rights. I'm Jock, the singing world around the Saturday night. 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 The song is called It's Not the Same Moon. It's about when you make a decision in life. A totally different world happens.
Did you ever hear the theory of the universe? Where every time you make a choice, a brand new planet gets created. Did you ever hear that theory? Does it carry any sense? That a choice could split the world in two? Or is it all just too immense for you? That they all exist in parallel, each one separate from the other. Every subsequent decision makes a new world, then another.
and try to spin the world back to its original state.
Well, that's not a scientific proposition, and relatively speaking, you're late. It's not the same moon and sky. These are different stars. These are strange coordinates of minds, a completely different zodiac, unfamiliar signs. It's not the same moon in the sky, those planets are misleading.
So I shouldn't even try to take a bearing or a reading. Just accept that things are different. You've no choice but to comply.
Well, smarter men have failed to see the logic as to why.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
Things about the players, the priest whose idea it was to build the ship dies. That's a plot spoiler, but he has a very philosophical attitude. This song is called So to Speak. The seriously sailors prolonged me life if I'll only submit to the surgical knife. What are the odds on a month or a week when the betting shop's closing its doors, so to speak? When you're tied to a pump and a breathing machine with their x-rays and probes and their monitor screens, and they wake you up hungry saying, how do you feel? And then you're stuffed full of pills and a barium meal. Prolonging me life now, that's some kind of joke. I'd be laughing me head off, and I'd probably choke. The spirit's still with him, but the rest of me's weak now. The bets are all off, and the prospects look bleak when you're laid like a piece of old meat on the slab. And they'll cut, and they'll slice, and they'll poke, and they'll jab. And they'll grill you and burn you, and they'll wish you good health with the radium chemo, and God knows what else. Well, you can't fault the science, but the logic is weak. Is it really an eternal life we should seek? That ship has sailed, that ship has sailed, that ship has already sailed, so to speak. Our mission is more than a struggle for breath, for a few extra rounds and a fight to the death. But our mission is love and compassion and grace. It's not a test of endurance or a marathon race. For love is the saber and love is the shield. Love is the only true power we wield. And eternal love is all you should seek. And that ship will be ready to sail, so to speak.
You're saying, 'cause I've heard you before. I'm afraid if I let what has passed through my door, how long would you stay? A month or a week? When that ship is already sailed, so to speak, should
Thank you. Save all your strength for the length of the task before us. Think on that ship on the slip way, they can't ignore us. It's what he would have wanted. He'll not be disappointed. Each of us well appointed. We've all but been anointed. Such was our occupation. This means of our salvation. We'll make a rope out of our dreams and hopes and tribulations. We'll weave these strands together. We'll splice our open tether. And though we won't know whether it's fair or stormy weather, we'll quit this key and we'll cast this net of souls upon the sea. Are you with me, Jim?
Pick up your tools, we're the fools to be treated like me. We'll weld our souls to the bucket,
secure tightly.
We'll use the skills and the crafts that our fathers taught us. We'll work the pride of the slate no one ever bought us.
We'll weave a net of our dreams and our hopes between us. We'll be the envy of that sorry bunch who wish they'd beat us. We'll form a web of steel, a structure that will not be broken. We'll be the heroes of the day when the tales are spoken. As this desk gets faster, we'll build a dome master. No vessel will outlast that. No other ship is faster. We'll quit this key and we'll cast this little soul from the sea. Come strike the floor with your feet, all your lads and lasses. And if you're too old to dance, you can raise your glasses. Just come on in, take a spin in your dreams you can have.
What are you banging out of mouse?
Worship your mother. Silence, get not for waiting. So why you hesitating? Ships don't get built to live in. All else is contemplating. We're on your own shoe leather. We're in this dance together. We'll pull the blazing feather. In Pharaoh's relevant weather. Each one of us connected. All trades and skills respected. Always to be expected. We will not be neglected. We'll pick this key and we'll cast this spell. Souls upon the sea.
To be swept off their feet and whirling. Life is a dance, a romance. Will you take your chances? Just don't be left on the shore of regretful glances.
We may not drive those races. We're hardly spoiled for choices. If we're the paying voices, we'll need to raise our voices. A strengthening communion. This boilermaker's union. The shipwright welder's guild. With every working station fail. These bonds we splice together. We'll face all kinds of weather. Consider it all together. I'm sailing hell for leather. We'll quit this key and we'll cast this little souls upon the sea.
Where will you be when we cast this net of souls upon the sea?
Show some respect on this day. Upon the sea,
upon the sea.
Judgments.
Grand River before you get carried away.
Unsung workers. This is called
ghost story.
Say that.
that bubbles like a hammer in your skull.
What have you got? What have you got?
A puncher of a clock.
What have we got?
You reactionary clowns, so you'll never knock us down, cause we're the union of the dog.
A dignitary up from London on the train to make a speech, to crack a big bottle of champagne over the bows and launch the ship down the slipway. And really important ships would get a member of the royal family to come up. We get very excited about that. Now you have to remember, this is for the people who aren't from England. 200 years ago, the royal family were considered to have magical healing powers. To such an extent that sick children were held up to try and touch the garment of the king or the queen to be cured of whatever sickness ailed them. It wasn't like that in my day, but we still got excited. So it's 1961. I'm 9 years old. I'm pausing so you can do the maths. Madam, I'm not 75. Well, I'm 9 years old. And we're waiting for the Queen Mother to come to War's End and launch a big ship. Can I have my prop? I have a prop here. Yes, there she is. I'll just put her down here for a second. So we're all out in the street and we all got our little Union Jacks in our hands. And we're waiting for the Queen Mother. And suddenly off the high street, a big motorcycle cortege arrives. Turns down into Station Road, and in the middle of the cortege is a massive black Rolls Royce, the biggest car I've ever seen in my life. And in it is the Queen Mother. And we all start waving and cheering, and then she's moving down the hill at a stately pace towards the shipyard. And as she nears my house, I start to wave my flag, and she waves at me, but looks at me, actually holds my gaze, and keeps staring at me as she goes past. Now, it could have been a few seconds, but it felt very significant to me that I was having some kind of rapport with the Queen Mother. Well, I wasn't cured of anything. No, it was the opposite. I was infected. I was infected with an idea. I was infected with the idea that I didn't actually belong in this street. I didn't want to be in this house. I didn't want to end up in the shipyard. I wanted to be in that fucking car. I wanted a bigger life. I wanted a life in the big world. It's my right as much as hers. I want something different to what was being offered. Anyway, this next song, the last song I'm going to sing, is it takes place in the bowels of Buckingham Palace, deep the servants' quarters. And you, Jackie, wait. Until I pass you this chalice. Is there something afoot down at Buckingham Palace?
Well, the footmen are frantic in their indignation. But it seems the Queen's took a taxi herself to the station, where the porters, surprised by a lack of royal baggage, bustle her and three corgis to the rear of the carriage. For the train is crammed with all Europe's nobility. None of them famed for their compatibility. There's a fight over seats. I beg pardon, Your Grace, but you'll find that one's mine. So get back in your place. Ah, but where are they going? The porters debate. Why, they're going to Newcastle, and they dare be late for the launching aboard on the Tyne at high tide. And they've come from all over, from far and from wide. There's the old Dalai Lama and the Pontiff of Rome, every palace in Europe, and there's no bugger home. There's the Duchess of Cornwall, with the loyal Prince of Wales looking Christian and comfy in his top hat and tails.
Well, they haven't got tickets.
Come now, it's just the detail. There was no time to purchase, and one simply has to prevail. For we'll get to the shipyards,
or we'll end up in jail when the last ship sails. On the roar
of the chains and the banging of tunnels, the noise at the end of the world in your ears, as a mountain of steel makes its way to the sea, and the last ship sails. It's a strange kind of beauty, it's cold and austere, and whatever it was that you've done to be here, it's the sum of your hopes, your despairs and your fears, when the last ship sails. All the roar of the chains and the cracking of tunnels, the noise at the end of the world in your ears, as a mountain of steel makes its way to
Bye.
Yeah.